Good morning and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com. That's Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, I have to ask you about something I just heard about before we jumped on here. I know we had time to talk about it, but did you see
breaking news?
Yeah, the Vikings traded Jefferson and their 23rd for the Patriots' third round pick. I can't believe they did it. I mean, it's blowing my mind. Oh, wait, that was yesterday. It was April Fool's, I guess.
Does April 2nd have something?
I was going to do that yesterday, but we didn't record yesterday. So
our lead note, Jefferson traded.
Yeah, that would be a foolish move by old Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, huh?
I would think that, yeah, if you're trying to get guys like him, you probably don't want to trade away guys like him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you do that to go get a decent quarterback and you don't have the best receiver in the game to throw to him. Nah, that's a mistake. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I had to delay here a little bit, Mark. I've got a woodpecker pecking on my house behind us. All of a sudden, he chirps, and I
really?
Went.
Really? So, put so some they. Tape in. We were under assault. We were talking about doing harm to them last week, and so they've decided to get on both houses now, right?
I'm all in now. So when you get your gun to shoot them, let me know. Let me borrow it because it's
all in.
I'm all in. Goodbye to Woody Woodpecker. But anyway. Goodbye to Danielle Hunter. I know that's long ago since happened, but there was a report this week that Danielle was offered more money to go to Indianapolis, and he went the other way and went to Houston. So it was clear. I think we can all be satisfied as Vikings fans that he didn't want to be here. He wanted to go to Houston, and Houston more than anything. So it's something probably you knew a long time ago, eh?
I don't think it was anything really personal against Minnesota, mm-hmm. the state, the people. I'm sure that he loves the fans. But he's from there. He's a Texas guy. He's from there. Whenever they did the hold in and they worked out another 1 year deal to keep him here for $20 million, and when it came with a no franchise. That was kind of my feeling is that, you know, he wanted to have a big year and he didn't, like say, he did have a career high in sacks. He had a really good year. If he had had a defensive MVP caliber year, they would have put a franchise tag on him because they wouldn't have wanted to lose him. I don't know that they would have done that. You know, maybe they would have done that this year, even with his 16 and a half sacks. But I think he wanted to move on. He wanted to see what else was out there, A, and B, you know, look at better opportunities. And you know that he's going to a place where, you know, on the other side the Texans have the reigning rookie deep, or you're not reigning if you're a rookie defensive player of the year, but you know they have that outstanding guy on the other side. Now they have Danielle, they got a head coach. I mean, that was the story, and one of the stories of the year was the Texans making that turnaround. Now Danielle could take them to another level, and that's saying a lot when you're in the AFC that they could be, you know, Super Bowl contenders. So, yeah, I never, you know, people that I've seen have written that mistake to let Danielle go. If they're speaking about this year or since that last contract, it's mistaken because I don't, you know, these guys have a just like Kirk. It's a two-way street. You know, both sides have to agree.
Right.
Where you say they needed to keep him was redoing a longer-term deal in previous years. But I think, yeah, it's they weren't going to keep him. Yeah, he wanted to move on.
Yeah, and so it's too bad. You know, has a year like that. You know, career year in sacks, and goes and earns himself some big coin. It's a bummer. I was a little surprised by it that he, you know, wouldn't want to stick around and play for Flores. But Zimmer drafted him, right? Zimmer and Spielman. Maybe he had more allegiance to that group. Maybe he should have gone to Texas.
Well, let's not, I mean, He's not clipping coupons. He got $49 million guaranteed over 2 years. What this does, you know, I think his average is $24-25 million. This also is a case of where it's a short, it's a 2 year deal. So this isn't like his last swing, at least in his mind. It's not his last swing at a big payday. So, it's good for him in that, what's considered a discount is still $25 million a year, and he gets another swing in 2 years. So
they're going to be a pretty decent team down there, aren't they, Texans?
Yeah, it starts with the D'Amico Ryans being an outstanding coach coming in and changing everything, being a great on the defensive side of the ball, and then Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, who I thought would, that guy's going to be a head coach someday, and then getting C.J. Stroud and how poised and calm he looked. Right. So yeah, they're a team that could, for a team that was worse in the league 2 years in a row, and now they are a playoff team and could go a lot higher. Is just shows you how quick it can turn around.
Back to your old saying that's exactly it. Things can turn around quickly. And speaking of that, there was some. The NFL odds came out this week on how the NFL's who's going to have the best records next year, betting odds anyway, so it doesn't mean much because you have to play the season. But we should take a look at these teams, where they're at, and see where the old Vikings are at, see if they're going to turn things around for next year. But looks like the Chiefs and the 49ers will have the NFL's best records according to the odds. And Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco were each slated for totals of over and under 11.5 wins. That, I'm thinking the over on a couple of those teams for sure. Probably Baltimore, given that they got Derrick Henry and picked up in the offseason, and they were very good last year. So, what do you think of that? That's the highest number for over unders. I think
Kansas City, Baltimore, and San Francisco were the three.
Yep.
Kansas City's always – although Kansas City, they win the Super Bowl, and that was considered a down year. The whole year we kept talking about, Kansas City, the offense is sputtering and the defense is kind of carrying them, and then they had to go on the road in the playoffs. It was just like we kept talking about how down Kansas City was right up till they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, 11, I would go over on them at 11. Yeah. I don't know that I would go over 11 on the Ravens just because of where that division they play in, having the Browns and the Steelers now. I think the Steelers are going to, I know Russell Wilson isn't creating a lot of buzz now, but I just feel like in the right situation and, I feel like that they could be a surprise team, but they're in that division. And then Cincinnati's going to come back with Joe Burrow getting healthy again. So I'd probably go under on that one. And then what was the other one? San Francisco.
San Francisco. Well, they play in the NFC, so there's probably a better chance for them to
go. Probably, I'd probably go over on them.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Chiefs. They do have more troubles at wide receiver that we learned this week. Rashee Rice, or I think his name is, gotten a little trouble in a hit and run accident, so he's might be out of commission for a while. But that's never seemed to bother the Chiefs. They can do it with or without good wide receivers because they always have a decent running game. They've got Travis Kelce at tight end, and then they've got Patrick Mahomes. So it's hard to count those guys out, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, and I believe they just signed a receiver in the offseason. I'll draw a blank on what they did, but. They bolstered that position. So, as long as you got Patrick Mahomes and you can put it together defensively, you're doing all right. And the Chiefs, they just traded L'Jarius Sneed, a corner.
Right. Yeah.
Teams like that, when they, Tyreek Hill was the most electric player in the league. They won a Super Bowl with him, they trade him away and then, because they don't want to pay that. They don't want the highest paid receiver in the league in the history of the league. So they let go this guy go. They get a lot of picks for him and they know what to do with him. So when you're a team like that that can draft as great as they can draft, you can go out and say, "Hey, I'm going to trade and use these picks," knowing that you can replace, and you can get the next guy that's going to be a coveted free agent, you know, down the road. You know, Baltimore was, you know, and probably still is to some degree, that one of those master teams that can take a third round pick, you know, you use him for 4 years. He goes away. They get a compensatory pick. They take that compensatory pick and they do something really good with it, and they keep the cycle going.
Yeah.
Well, the Vikings do not have that right now. They're not saying that these guys won't. It's still too early for them to really give the final judgment, but the Vikings don't have that right now, and it hurts them.
Yeah, and they're going to have to pay the most expensive receiver in the league, aren't they? Probably next year if they want to keep him. But you know, that's interesting that you point that out. The Chiefs, now granted they have a better team, but you know, they didn't want to pay that money. They don't think one player deserves all that money except for your quarterback, so they send him packing. And is that a lesson for the Vikings to, you know, go with my April Fool's joke or my April?
Well, you know, the Chiefs have one important factor and variable in this equation, yeah, that the Vikings don't. They have Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think where the Vikings are, you know, whereas, you know, it's a team game. Everybody's kind of is, I won't say equal, but you need all 22 yep, starters. But in the Vikings situation, I think, you know, it's Justin Jefferson who's going to make Sam Darnold better or a rookie better at this point. Yeah, I think that helps the whole transition, whether it's a rookie or it's Sam Darnold.
Yeah. You got to have him for so many reasons, I think. And that's
his age, the fact that you do a longer deal, it brings his cap number down. Now, the reason we're not seeing it, you know, it's taken, you know, it should have happened probably last summer and it's still going on, is that I think, you know, probably Jefferson's wanting more than, you know, I guess there's a limit to for the Vikings, like, hey, let's just get him to the top of, you know, above Nick Bosa, that you'd be the highest paid non quarterback in the league, and maybe he's wanting something else. I don't know.
Wow. God, I hope not. It'll hamstring him if he does. The next group of teams in the over-under category with 10.5 as the number are Atlanta with old Kirk Cousins, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Dallas, Detroit, Green Bay, Miami, and Philly. That's quite, you know, there's some good teams there. And I don't know. Anybody jump out there at you that you're down on?
All eyes are going to be on Kirk. And, you know, 10 wins, with, you know, if I had to guess on anything with Kirk Cousins related, would be, I'll guess him at 8-8-1. So I'll go or 7-7-3. You know, I would think, again, I'm just, it's kind of off the top of my head. These are kind of silly bets. I don't know, because games can go so many different ways and injuries. But I would go under on Atlanta and Kirk and see. I would rather put, I wouldn't put money on any of this stuff, but
yeah,
if I had to, my money would be on them, you know, in that 9-10 as opposed to, you know, 11-12.
The next one is 9.5 wins, and it's the Texans and the Jets. And I would go over on the Texans and under on the Jets.
I would, yes, I would agree with that. Aaron Rodgers, he got to last more than 5 snaps in one season for me to assume that, hey, you're going to come back and you're going to be everything that they wanted him to be and more. And so, yeah, I would agree with that one.
So far, he's making the Green Bay Packers look like geniuses, jettisoning him, and then he plays 5 plays, and he's not getting any younger. He didn't get younger during the offseason. He's getting older, and like Kirk, you know, they may have been durable for a lot of their career, but as you get older, stuff happens. But such it is. At 8-5 wins over and under, you have the Bears, Browns, Colts, Jaguars, Chargers, Rams, Steelers, and Bucks. And, you know, boy, oh boy, I think I'd go jumping out at me, and I'm sure you would agree. The Browns are going to win more than 8.5 games. I would get them at 9 wins at least. if there's anybody else on that list. Chargers, you just got to, they got to prove it once. They just always, everybody's jumps on them at the beginning of the season. And I've been guilty of that in fantasy football, but you know, they got to prove it once. And, you know, maybe the Buccaneers with your old buddy, Maker Mayfield will jump over that. Anything jump out at you there?
There's some of those that you know, for me, the knee-jerk NFL, everybody that's up here, you got to assume they're going to come down here and vice versa. You know, it's like Baker Mayfield and the magic of last year. Kind of my feeling is I would guess it'd go the other way. The Browns, you know, if Nick Chubb's, you know, comes back, like, it's hard to assume that he's going to come back like he is. But, and then you got Deshaun Watson coming in. How's that going to, is he going to finally, you know, live up to his money? That magic, I don't know that they'll go below 8 wins, but I'd have a hard time putting it above them. I might just stay away from that one because they should win more than 8, or you have to win, win more than 8. But I could see this as a step back year for Cleveland, and it's the whole Deshaun Watson mess and be like, oh, you know, why'd they do this? And I could just feel that in my bones. There was one other in there. What are the teams again?
The Bears, Browns, Colts, Jags, Chargers, Rams, Steelers, and Bucks.
Well, the Bears would be the fascinating one for me. It's, I feel, I would assume that, you know, that it's going to be Caleb Williams. And I'm just not a Caleb Williams guy. I could be totally wrong. I don't see, even if he ends up being a good quarterback, I don't think he's gonna be CJ Stroud right away. So that's gonna be a real good one to watch.
Yeah.
Even though I've put the Bears kind of ahead of the Vikings, I'm feeling like I don't know that the Bears are ready to win
that tough division with the Packers and the Lions. And you got to consider that because that's, you know, you got 6 games in that division, and the Packers and the Lions are probably still better than the Bears.
Well, yeah, I'm going under on that one for the Bears on that one. But that's another. I love, you know, the Vegas or the odds makers are so. I mean, they know more about this stuff than anybody, and even they struggle trying to figure this league out. But those numbers are exactly like, wow, you don't know, you're not sure which way to go.
Right, and we still haven't got to the Vikings yet, and we aren't now. They're the number at 7.5 wins are the Saints and Seahawks, and you know, I could see that either way with them, but you got to go all the way down to 6.5 over and under wins to see the Cardinals, Commanders, Vikings, Raiders, Giants, and Titans. 6.5. What did they win 7 last year? They beat that last year, you know, and with their quarterback gone out of the season. I would tend, you know, now you got to look at the division and being the homer that you're going to accuse me of being, I would take the over on that.
Yeah, I would go under at this point because, you know, Sam Darnold is the quarterback, right? As we speak,
former third overall pick. Come on, Mark.
Yeah, there's about 14 NFL cities that have fought that too, you know. And, you know, he's, granted, at the end in Carolina when they were playing for nothing, there was a little bit of a spark. And last year, I'm sure he stood on the sideline very well in San Francisco doing nothing. So I'd have to go. I got to go under for him because mainly because of the quarterback. It's either going to be a rookie or it's going to be Sam Darnold. Danielle Hunter, we just got done discussing Danielle Hunter. Your best defensive player is gone. There's a lot of new parts and new pieces that maybe they could, Grenard is going to be, could be a good player, but he's not going to be Danielle. Van Ginkle's not going to be Danielle. Defensive line is, they got some new pieces, but I still see that as a weakness. Interior offensive line, which is critical for this quarterback, is I don't consider it anywhere near a strength. I consider it subpar, and they haven't re-signed their left guard yet. So, and they're thin at corner. I mean, there's a thin at corner. Now that we still have the draft to go, maybe there's a corner there. But gun to my head, I go under.
Well, you and I will have to have a bet on that somehow for a Mankato beer this summer or before the season starts. I think, you know, they could surprise. Once again, I got to talk. You got to put them in the context of their division, and there's 3 teams in their division that are better than them right
but now. Here, if you make that bet and then they start 0-3 and you start your tanking, that say they don't draft a quarterback this year, they can't get the quarterback, and there's some, you know, great, you know, tank for Hank. Maybe there's a quarterback out there that's named Hank, and you go 0-3, you don't have a quarterback, Sam Darnold is completing 20% of his passes, and you're going on the tank for Hank, you know, bandwagon. You're going to be rooting against your beer.
Wow. He's starting early, folks. He's starting early with the negativity for the Vikings. But the one good thing about the Vikings on this list, at least we're not the Broncos at 5.5 and the Panthers and Patriots at 4.5. So we got that going for us, which is nice, eh? On that note, Tank for Hank, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. We're going to talk about some more stuff more related to the Vikings. The whole trade up scenario and what they're going to do. So come on back and we'll chat about that. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune, where they got the pom-poms out. They're all excited. There's so much to write about with the Vikings and the trade scenarios. And here's, I don't know if it wasn't out of the Tribune necessarily, but I have seen it many places that Minnesota's is probably the best place for one of these rookies quarterbacks to land. They have two good tackles on offense, a great tight end, a best wide receiver in the game, a second one who's very good, a very good running back, and a QB whisperer coach. So it would be a good spot to land as a rookie if you can let that rookie sit and learn and get the system for a year at least and then take off. But what do you think about that, Mark? If you were a quarterback, you want to come here? Or you already live here, so never mind.
No, I would want to go wherever the highest amount of money that they'll pay me.
Not as a rookie, though. You can only get so much.
Yeah, you know, like you can look at last year's a perfect example of two guys. You know, Bryce Young is not a terrible quarterback. C.J. Stroud is not you look at the two quarterbacks and you could say C.J. Stroud had rookie of the year and looked like a veteran from day one. Bryce Young looked terrible. Biggest difference, one went to a really good situation where new staff, the offensive coordinator was very, very creative and really worked and there's some talent around him. They could run the ball pretty well. Their offensive line wasn't great, but it was good enough to promote a rookie being able to play quarterback. Carolina, their offensive line was so horrendous that they went out and bought, I think, two of the top 10 highest paid free agents were guards, and two of them, and both of them went to Carolina this offseason. Wow. So, I mean, they really invested in their offensive line. This place, you know, certainly has a lot going for it in that, I think O'Connell would be good for a young quarterback. I don't think he's the perfect, you know, best. He's not Bill Walsh. Otherwise, I think what we saw with Joshua Dobbs last year would have continued for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, you know, I've said this before. I'm sorry I'm not drinking all of the Kool-Aid, but I was disappointed in what transpired after that initial burst of Josh Dobbs and how he was. Everybody was so excited about it. And I thought that he could be coach of the year. And then he fizzled and Josh Dobbs disappeared so quickly. I didn't like that. But I do feel like he would be good for a young quarterback. Jefferson speaks for himself. TJ, if he comes back healthy, you know, I would assume he'll be early in the year. If not the start of the season, that's good. Running back seems to have been upgraded. But there's that interior offensive line that caused Kirk a lot of problems. I mean, for all we talked about Kirk, he only went to the playoffs, you know, two times and won one playoff game.
And in how many years? 6 years? 6 years he was here?
Years. You know, obviously last year he gets hurt, one time in the last 4 years he went to the playoffs, and that was your top dollar quarterback. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Kirk always, when Kirk struggled, it was with that offensive line. The left tackle, I like him. Brian O'Neill, I think, took a step back last year, but he's still a guy you'd want to have. But everything else, and when you're talking about an offensive line, you're really only talking about who, you know, you're good as your weakest guy. And there's a lot inside that caused Kirk a lot of problems, and it'll definitely cause, rookie quarterback or Sam Darnold for sure, a lot of problems. So, yeah, it's good, but it's not like they're coming to the 84 49ers or something like that.
And they didn't really, you mentioned Carolina focusing on those guard positions, those high paid guards. The Vikings didn't really do anything to change their fortunes in those positions in free agency, did they? I mean, they signed Randall, but
they went out and got Dan Feeney, a guy that basically replaces Austin Schlottman. So a guy who can play guard and center. So nothing where you're jumping off the, that you're jumping up and down about. So, we've said it before, and it gets kind of overlooked now, especially when you're talking about the needs being quarterback, getting into free agency, wanting another running back, all the needs on defense, that interior offensive line gets overlooked. And I think that can, a lot of times for me, when I was watching games and watching, if they would struggle, it'd be like, the root of problems start with that, not being able to control the game with your offensive line. Cleveland controls a game with its offensive line, and they had a lot of injuries. They lost a lot of players, but they just kept,
they made Joe Flacco look good.
Yeah. Things like, you need, to me, it all starts with that, with the offensive line. And then, you can't win with just an offensive line, but if you don't have an offensive line, you're not going to win.
And the last thing you want to do is draft your rookie quarterback and have him turn into Bryce Young, who is running for his life. He's not going to learn anything if he's constantly under pressure and under the gun. He'll learn how to what that's like in the NFL. But I mean, you need a situation where C.J. Stroud could just flourish, so he can, it may not be as enviable a spot as some people are making it out.
Yeah. And the Vikings have a better offensive line than what Carolina threw out there last year. But also, if the Vikings have had a stationary quarterback for so long, if they do get a guy who's mobile, you got to balance it between like a Jaden Daniels or Drake May or, Caleb Williams, if you were to fall.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, those guys, can bring you a different element, but you also got to make sure you don't lose them. Like Indianapolis with Richardson, they should have pulled the reins back on him. Because he looked fantastic up until they just got clobbered so hard that he was out for the year. Right. So that's always a struggle. These guys, as much as they watch the league, I don't think they realize it. Like Jaren Hall, I don't think he realized, even though he's played the game and he's in there, his first opportunity to play, and when he took off of that goal line, he don't think he realized what these guys can do to him that they couldn't really do at the college level. They just can blow you to smithereens.
Boy, you can, can't they? Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. If you recall this from when O'Connell was at the league meetings last week, he kind of intimated that it seems like he maybe just be testing the waters, but he kind of said that with the Vikings trading for Houston's first round pick at 23, which actually came from Cleveland, and everybody thinks they're going to trade up. He's trying to say that there's more value in the two picks this year than like a first this year, a first next year, and a first after that. Like we've seen happen in recent times. It goes because you can see what you're going to get this year, and I don't know, he's got some guys agreeing with that, but I'm not sure, I think he wants to say, okay, that's enough. I don't have to throw in another first. I'm not seeing it. How about you?
No, I don't see it at all, because ask Chicago, Chicago makes that trade last year. They give Carolina the number one overall pick and they drop to what? Nine, I think, last year.
I think so.
So they drop and they get the number one this year, and it ends up being number one overall. So you don't really know. I guess it depends on who you trade with. If you're trading like if Kansas City were to give you you know, won next year, you're pretty confident it's going to be down at the bottom.
Right.
I mean, frankly, if I'm trading with the Vikings, I'm thinking,
I want the next year because
because 23 this year they might be outside the top 23 next year. I don't know. So it's, yeah, he's obviously lining up. Fans are pretty smart. They might buy it, but other executives are going to be like, we're not buying it. Basically it's, if you want to get in the top three, it's going to take you another one.
I know. And to me, I've said all along, and I still maintain it's too much, but it's probably what it's going to be because those guys up in there, you know, they know how enviable this position is. And they know that, well, okay, if I can't sucker the Vikings into giving me 3 ones, I'll hang on to it, draft a nice young quarterback, and then, you know, go from there. They are in the perfect spot, those people that the Vikings want to trade with. You know, I don't even see him trading with Arizona at 4, especially, well, you know, there was a guy come out with this scenario that the Vikings should trade. Mike Tannenbaum from Bleacher Report came out saying that the Vikings should trade for Kyler Murray from the Arizona Cardinals. And just shoot me now.
Well, you know, I think he took a lot of heat from, you know, Vikings fans about that. And I don't know. I mean, you know, Mike's, he's a former, you know, GM. He's not a dumb guy. And he's, I don't know if he's just throwing things out there to throw it out there, but yeah, I mean, granted, Kyler's 27, Kirk is 35. But if I wanted to get involved in that contract, I would have kept Kirk Cousins, you know, because Kirk was 45 and ended up getting $45 million a year.
Kyler's getting
Murray is averaging 46 a year. He's like, he's the fifth highest paid quarterback in the league. I would put him side by side with Deshaun Watson as the most overpaid quarterback in the league. This guy's played 19 games in the last 2 years. You would be paying for Kyler Murray's potential. He's 27 years old. He's a big name. He's had some electrifying moments in the league, but you're still at that mega contract that he got. You're paying for his potential. No way would I, you know, get, when you finally break the tie with Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
you do it so that you can get into a rookie contract, whether it's this year or it's next year. Cause you know, that's part of getting Sam Darnold is to take a little of the pressure off to whether you do it this year or next year. And then frankly, what the quarterbacks look like next year, if they do start losing, then, you know, I've never been a tank it guy, but if there's a quarterback there and you're struggling along with Sam Darnold, then that's probably the time. You know, Brian Flores might not go along with it, but right. You know, so and then you look at his cap number in 2024 is $49 million. 25 is 43, then it's 53, then it's 43.
For Murray? Oh my goodness.
For Kyler Murray. So if you're just talking like, hey, it'd be nice to have him as a 27-year-old and he's making $5 million a year, that's great. But coming in with that contract, I laughed. I mean, I think Ben Lieber, when he tweeted something, he just had a series of emojis were just kind of laughing. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people to that take was like, are you kidding me? You know, no, thank you. You got to think of the financials on that one. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you want to get a rookie quarterback because for no other reason, the contract they're going to command, it's not going to be like this. I mean, they're already paying $10 million to Sam Darnold, so you can't afford to pay your backup $10 million if you're going to bring in Kyle Murray, you know, unless they, you know, ship off.
It's not
clickbait,
like,
baby. Clickbait.
It's just not like – bringing in Patrick Mahomes, whatever, you make it work no matter what it costs. But you bring in Kyler Murray, you're like, you know, he's not worth what they're paying him. Why should we pay him that?
So, why don't you say something outrageous like that so we can put it in the headline of this thing and get some clickbait going, Mark? Come on.
That is so much a part of this business right now. It's almost become a comedy of its, like a spoof of itself. it's, and I don't know that Mike Tannenbaum does that, but you know, that's, it is just kind of the, you know, where it's starting to see, I think it's start, we're getting to that point where it's starting to cycle away where I think people are coming off of the popular thing is to say, maybe with Jaden Daniels now might go one overall. He might, who knows? Yeah. But the way that everything shifts around, we don't know if the reality is shifting. It's just perception. Perception starts at the beginning with the Mel Kuypers and the people that have been doing this for 40 years. And then it just kind of branches from there. And there's too many days between when it starts and when the draft is actually held. So we're all over the map. But yeah.
Here it is. The Star Tribune's. The Star Tribune's Craig says Justin Jefferson is not worth it. Get rid of him. Let's do that. Let's say that, Mark.
Just like when during his offensive MVP year when you said he was overrated. We should have put that on the website.
Should have. There was your opportunity.
Right after the Buffalo game, right after that catch, you should have said he's overrated.
I thought of that just before I came out with my last statement, and I thought, God, Craig's got a good memory. He's going to bring that up, that I was warming slowly to my – I was saying, hold off on those Randy Moss comparisons, but, boy, you can sure make them now. He's something else. And I want him to stay. I do
in your defense, I would still take Randy. Randy in his prime.
Absolutely, but, you know – Randy's I wouldn't take him now, he's pretty old, but I sure want to watch JJ. I love the way he plays the game. I hope he can stay healthy, get his hamstrings squared away, and keep doing it in the purple. That's what I want. But we're gonna take another quick break, and we're gonna come back with a question that few Vikings fans are probably thinking about or want to think about, but it's probably a distinct possibility. So you have to come on back and see what that question is. Come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, the question I teased in the last segment for the Vikings is probably on most people's mind is the doomsday scenario, is if they can't find a trading partner to move up. I mean, they got the 11th overall pick in the 23rd, and we established last segment that they're going to have to sweeten that with probably a first-round pick next year. And if we go back to the first segment, they're only going to win six games, right, Mark? You know, they're not
tank. Come on, Joe.
Yeah, the Vikings are 6.5, so they're only going to win six games next year, if Mark says the under. So what happens if they can't find a trading partner? They do have 11 and 23 in the first round, which isn't the worst thing in the world. A couple questions for you. What would they do with those picks if, you know, they have to stick at 11 and 23, I guess, to put it succinctly?
Well, let's start off with the trade-up scenario. You know, I think it takes a number one next year to get into the top three, mm-hmm. you know, because the Bears, Washington, and New England all need quarterbacks. They're all, you know, in the top three. So there's a need for them for quarterbacks. But say New England loves Jaden Daniels, and only Jaden Daniels, and he goes number two. Then New England says, you know, I don't want Drake May. I don't want Bo Nix. I don't want J.J. McCarthy. Then, you know, the Vikings are in love with Drake May and they're in love with J.J. McCarthy, whatever. Then, you know, the Vikings trade up to three. That would cost them a one next year, I think, if right. not more. Might cost you more. Might cost you a one and two, whatever. But
yeah, because if they want a quarterback, they're going to have to wait and get him next year. So they want that one. Yeah.
And they'd be dropping from three down to 11 as opposed right. to, like, say the Giants decide, or even, you know, like Denver's in the mix. Denver might, you know, want to jump up or whatever. But I'm saying the difference between trading up to three and trading up to, say, the Chargers at five or even the Giants at six probably costs you a lot less. It probably costs you the two this year and maybe a fourth this year. It's a big difference, I think. And so, you know, Arizona, it's hard to see Arizona, like, when you do have a Kyler Murray and you want to, you know, put people around Kyler Murray to get your money out of him, it's hard for me to see them trading out and missing on a Marvin Harrison. who might end up being the best guy in the whole draft. So, you know, the target, I guess, for teams wanting to come up, you know, I guess you try the Cardinals, but the target's probably the Chargers, you know, because, you know, the Chargers, obviously, they could sit there, they could take Joe Alt, the kid from here, Totino Grace, and he'd probably have to play right tackle, which would be awkward for him, I think, but or Malik Nabers, a receiver, to go with Justin Herbert. But right in there, so if you trade up to five and you have to give up a two this year, two in the first round, and say a fourth rounder maybe next year, or, I would do that if you think you got that quarterback you're going to get. And then the Giants, they're a wild card. Do the Giants take a quarterback? Do they want a quarterback at six? And if the guy, you know, turns out it's good to be good, they trade Daniel Jones or vice versa, whatever. So yeah, you're looking at all those scenarios. But if you just have to sit at 11, you know, I don't. It's pretty, at least the perceptions going that because at one time when all these mock drafts started, JJ, or when they were kind of like right after the back in January, it was JJ. Yeah. Oh, let's just stay at 11, take JJ McCarthy. Well, now you know all the hype has got JJ McCarthy. Now there's no way he's going to make it out of the top seven or eight.
Right.
But what about Bo Nix? Bo Nix is a guy who completed probably 76, 77% of his passes. Is he a guy that you feel comfortable with at 11? If you do, you take him. But if you think he's Christian Ponder, but we just need the QB next to his name, you get out of it. And to me, going back to your original question, is then I think you're looking at possibly getting the top edge rusher or the top corner. I think edge rushers in that, because there are a lot of tackles, a lot of receivers, a lot of quarterbacks.
You can't take a guard that high?
Well, I don't think you would look at a guard that high, but,
okay.
You know, the mock drafts I've seen, there is a guard from, I believe, Washington, who's being put in that late teen area. So, you know, if you stay there and he drops past 223, then maybe you look at a guard there.
You made me think of something as you were saying there. You said I didn't even consider that the Giants also could use a quarterback. The Broncos need a quarterback. Do you think, you know, that those guys are, I mean, would the Giants consider moving up from six to get the guy they want, do you think? And that would be more enticing, although you couldn't probably get three number ones to move up from six to three, could you?
I wouldn't think you'd be able to get that. You know, but the Giants, I don't think they would. I think if there's a quarterback there, they would take it. And they're certainly not going to announce we're not taking a quarterback because their pick is going to be valuable for people trying to trade up. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took a quarterback there. And, you know, if it's a guy they really love, because, you know, all bets are off on what these teams do anymore. I mean, Arizona, wasn't too long ago, I personally thought there's no way they're taking Kyler Murray number one overall because, you know, Josh Rosen, well, they had taken top 10
right
the year before. And sure enough, it was a different regime, I believe. But you just can't look at, like, the fact that they have a $40 million contract on Daniel Jones. I feel like if it's the best player there and they take the quarterback, and then you can trade maybe a Daniel Jones. Say Daniel Jones starts and he does all right. You trade him, you know, you have another asset, I guess what I'm saying is that. So everything is just so, the teams are so impatient and everything's so fluid. You can't rule out, because Daniel Jones is not a guy where you say, well, they're not going to take a quarterback because they have Daniel Jones.
Right, right.
They invested a ridiculous amount of money in him. I don't think you can just say that. Giants are not going to take a quarterback. The Jets at 10, you know, I don't think they look at a quarterback, even though they got a 41-year-old guy. I think that they would, because they realize that if they don't win with him this year, they're all gone.
Yeah.
They part of the all in on Aaron Rodgers and believing that he'll stay healthy is getting like the Georgia tight end at 10 and helping Aaron Rodgers right now, Brock Bowers. But, you know, if they stay, say the Vikings stay there, and Dallas Turner is an edge rusher that people have said that could be there when the Vikings select. If they get him, you know, if you get the top edge rusher at 11, that's, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad if you're not getting your quarterback. And it's you people, I think fans and everyone want to see the Vikings get that quarterback. But if they're settling for someone they don't like, then it's not going to work out. So, you know, I don't know that Turner has been projected, I guess, as high as Atlanta, number 8. But if he were to be there at 11, that'd be a pretty good pick, I think.
What about Penix?
Yeah, it's another guy that, you know, can you get him at 23? You know, he's a guy that maybe is a first and second round. I mean, these are all things that, you know, that supposedly everyone, you know, working for the Vikings or working for a team has an idea of what's going to happen. But, you know, I don't think even they know, you know, that, well, I think if you really liked him and say four quarterbacks go in the top 10, and you feel like, you know, the fifth quarterback was your guy, then you take him 11.
Yeah.
You know, one thing Kwesi has proven is that he's not afraid to make moves. He's not afraid to be embarrassed by moves that he's made, like the trade, you know, what he did with Detroit. That was risky at the time, and he showed he was fearless in making that trade, and it didn't work out for him, but I think we can kind of, you know, he's capable of doing something that's going to surprise us, even though it's been talked about for months and months and months about what they could do. He could surprise it. You know,
it's still surprising. It's amazing to think, you mentioned a couple teams about what thinking about the attempts teams have made to get a quarterback. Arizona with Rosen and then Kyler Murray, which have not been great. You got the Bears, which had Trubisky and then Justin Fields, and now they're back in it again. It's like, you know, these guys are making swings and misses at the top of the board. You know, so it's ultimately a crapshoot. You better know who that guy is. I feel like KOC is going to be able to figure out who he wants and who he can help and develop, maybe, just because having played the position, you know, and better so than Rick Spielman, who used to draft quarterbacks for us. I just don't know that he was the best at it. That we've had. I mean, but he sent out a note recently suggesting that the Vikings consider South Carolina's Spencer Rattler as a late round Brock Purdy type possibility. You know, is that, but yeah, maybe that's good. Maybe he's right. I don't know, but it feels like another third round shot at a Derek or Kellen Mond or Jaren Hall, or, you know, it just doesn't feel like the guy that the Vikings, this new regime, wants in order to make to save their jobs in the future. I mean, they have to make this decision right. They have to do it well and not have it set them back too long. What do you think about any of that? I just been going on.
Well, you know, I feel like it's a good example of, like, you just keep swinging at quarterback. You just, well, I mean, look what the 49ers did. The 49ers did something that they traded up from 12 to 3 for Trey Lance and gave up like three number ones. And that, had they not gave up
three number ones. Wow.
For what all that they gave up for him, he ended up playing like, I think started 8 games for him. But what they did is the following year, they drafted Brock Purdy in the last pick of the draft. You know, it wasn't a big swing and it wasn't some big risk by them, but it was just I feel like you've got to be continuously taking swings on quarterbacks. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes and you don't have Josh Allen, you don't have these guys that are established, you just keep swinging, because, you know, Brock Purdy and what he became saved, you know, those guys, they go from getting fired to looking like geniuses, but they still made a humongous mistake. One of the biggest mistakes you'll make at the top of the draft with Trey Lance, but it gets covered up because, you know, then this other.
That's
so
true.
If the Vikings, and you could even go back to the RG3 draft. I mean, they gave up the three number ones to get Washington did to go up and get RG3. And, you know, the next day or the, you know, I think the draft was 2 days back then, fourth round, they take Kirk Cousins. You know, so, the, you know, I mean, it's okay to like take, you know, if you feel like, you know, on your board that that's a better value, it's okay to take extra quarterbacks because it's just so important to have that player.
Well, you know, I agree with that, but it's like, speaking from a Viking standpoint, we've been sitting around taking those swings and misses, and like, you got Jake Browning, you've got Kellen Mond, you've got, you know, Christian Ponder was supposed to be a good pick, that he was going to be the QE. They've taken those later round swings. I think with the two first rounders now, they have to take a swing at somebody up top. They have to get the guy that they think's the quarterback of the future. And well, or people are going to be disappointed if they wait around. I'm not saying you're advocating that. I'm just saying, you know, if they're going to wait around and take another swing late until, you know, they've stunk so much that they're slotted in one of those first three picks in a future draft. I personally don't want it. I'm tired of seeing the Vikings make mid to late round picks, you know, never winning big in the playoffs and never taking high in the draft. I'm ready for this year for them to go up there and grab somebody that they like. And
well, yeah, 100%. That's what that, but by the fact that you're not in the top three, you're not in, or there's, you know, three or four quarterbacks, you're outside the top 10. It, you know, everything you wish for, you know, you can't get it. Like, if you want the ideal situation, hey, Chicago, I'm going to trade for you. I'm going to take the best quarterback available. Okay. You know, the Bears have something to say about that. The Bears aren't going to do that. And I don't think those top three teams are going to do that. So if the Vikings, and this is where you trust, Kevin O'Connell's judgment, it's like, okay, Kevin O'Connell thinks there is only one or two or three guys that I would feel comfortable turning the franchise over and really working and having him be the guy, and they're gone, then you don't have any choice but to, you know, go to plan B, C, D, whatever.
Right.
You know, Rick Spielman throwing that out there is saying basically, if nothing else works out, if it doesn't fall your way and you can't make it fall your way, here's a guy that's later on. Now, Rick, obviously, I'll preface this by saying Rick knows more about the draft and still knows more about the draft than I'll ever know.
He does.
But, you
not
know,
me, Rick, though. Not me. Rick, I know.
Also overvalued Kellen Mond like you wouldn't believe. I mean, took him in the third round. There's a talk that he wanted to go up in the second round and get him. So he thought of Kellen Mond as a diamond in the rough, a hidden gem that he could develop. Now, Kellen Mond, from an amateur's, I mean, I've been watching football for 100 years and I've been covering it for 90 years. You see it and you know what you can, like when Justin Jefferson came in, it was like immediately, it was like, this guy's smoother. Everything about him, even though he didn't have Randy's size or anything, it was like, this guy just does things so smooth. He's different. When Kellen Mond came in from practices, preseason, the limited amount of time he had in the regular season, he was always two steps behind everyone else and he couldn't catch up.
Yeah.
His mind, his body, everything just was slower than it should be. And you could see that. And obviously, that was a thing because I don't know if he's out of the league now or what,
I think he was on the roster last year, but it might have been.
And that is a third round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know Spencer Rattler enough to say good, bad, or ugly, but, you know, I'm saying, you know, Rick, you know, saw something in Kellen Mond that it was a ghost. So, and Christian Ponder, Christian Ponder is the classic example. It was a strike year, or holdout, or whatever it was called, at the and they didn't have any offseason. There was no free agency. I think they got Donovan McNabb, I think, after the draft. So, you know, Brett Favre was gone. They had no quarterback. So he had to reach. He had to go for a quarterback, and he got Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
So when that will always be the tale of, like, if you're just reaching for the position and not the player, it can cause you problems.
Absolutely. In Rick's defense, and not that we're saying, I agree with you, he knows more about any of this than I could ever even imagine to know. but he can sure draft wide receivers. He knows what he's doing there. You got Justin Jefferson. You've got Stephon Diggs. You've got Percy Harvin's one of his. You know, I mean, it, just on and on. The list of receivers in this town has been phenomenal. It's been great being a Vikings fan to have that. And unfortunately, the guys throwing to them are not as great. But
Laquan Treadwell.
Oh, well, come on. You've got to get it. You know, every once in a while, if you take that many.
Right. I mean, there were definitely strengths and weaknesses in over his long time of assembling the draft. I would say offensive lineman late in the draft, he was pretty horrendous. He finally did get, I mean, when you talk about the tackles forever. You know, Spielman always needed tackles. And Darrisaw was a good pick. O'Neal was a really good pick, second round. And those are, you know, guys that, you know, fortunately that came a little too late for him. But, you know, there's a lot of late round guards that just never, it just fizzled immediately. There were a lot of, I used to tease him. I'd say, you were always looking for the next Chris Spielman and you found the next Rick Spielman. But they were both linebackers and Chris Spielman was on borderline Hall of Famer, and Rick was a guy who had a couple tryouts for the Chargers and I think the Lions, and never played in the league. So there's a lot of those, you know, Big Ten guys that late in that fizzled, that he wanted to be better than they were. And quarterback, you know, I think, you know, quarterback was one that he just never quite got right.
Yeah, it is a tough position to do so. I mean, we've mentioned how many ones that did not work out. Didn't even mention Jamarcus Russell was taken number one overall, and it was the biggest bust at the position ever. But there have been plenty. It makes it exciting as we look forward to a draft, but it also makes it scary for a Vikings fan to see, because they're going to probably have to spend some capital, get up there and get a quarterback. And, you know, once you get that guy, there's no guarantees. You better hope he's the right guy. Certainly Vikings.
If he is the right guy, and obviously Kevin O'Connell is steering this decision. If he's the right guy and you are 100% sure, then a number one next year, I don't think is out of bounds to pay, because you need that CJ Stroud. You need that, you know, Russell Wilson, whenever he came out in Seattle, well, he was a third rounder, but you need that guy that you can just build everything around. And if you don't have it, you're just not, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we'll have to look forward to next time. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. And we'll talk about it until they hopefully stop us from talking about it in the draft at the end of April. That's where we're headed. So thanks, Mark. Appreciate your input each week. Thanks, Mike Woldham, producer. Putting it all together. Thanks, Joe Johnson. And thanks to all you folks out there for tuning in. Come on back. Next time we'll have something for you to look at, and we'll do it all again. So thanks again. And until we see you, skull.
Skull.